reading from the Holy Gospel according to
Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said to him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your house, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took his wife into his house. The Gospel of the Lord. For the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at various readings that deal with, in some manner or other, the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. So I thought maybe we'd take a look at Joseph and Mary and discover where they fit into our salvation history and what the Gospels teach us about them, and how that becomes a teaching to us. So let me look at some background first. The four Gospels tell us very, very little about Mary. It's remarkable how little they tell us. The Gospel of Mark has only one reference in chapter 3 about Mary doing something. The whole Gospel of Mark, the earliest of the four Gospels. There in chapter 3, you'll remember this, that Jesus is preaching to a group in a house, and messengers are sent to him saying, "Your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you." And then Jesus says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" That's the only reference to Mary doing anything in the whole Gospel of Mark. There's one other section there in chapter 6 where Jesus is rejected at Nazareth. And they said, "Don't we know this? The son of the carpenter, isn't Mary his mother?" These are the only two references in the whole Gospel of Mark. Matthew has more. He has that reference about your mother and your brothers are looking for you. And then the infancy narrative, the birth of Jesus. She never says anything. We meet her in the infancy narrative through Joseph in Matthew's gospel. Luke's gospel gives her much more attention, but only in the infancy narrative. When you get into the public life of Christ, there's hardly any mention at all of Mary. John's gospel is a little different. You have in chapter 2 in John's gospel that Cana, and the wedding feast at Cana, she's there. And then you have to go all the way out to chapter 20 in John's Gospel, where she's at the foot of the cross. The only two mentions of Mary in the Gospel of John. Therefore, when we put all four Gospels together, there's very little insight into Mary, who she is, where she came from, any personal information about her. None, pretty much. It's no wonder that in the Reformation, when Luther and Calvin and the Reformers said, "Sola Scriptura, we'll only accept what's in Scripture." And since there was so little about Mary, they rejected. The iconoclasts of the Reformation destroyed all the images of Mary, and so we have a whole new direction for Mary. By that time, of course, out of Rome, we had huge development
of the devotion to Mary. All of the art of Botticelli and Da Vinci and even up to Michelangelo. In 1499, he had the Pietà. So huge devotion to the Blessed Mother, rejected by the reformers because it doesn't meet the expectations or what we find in the four Gospels. So where do we learn about Mary? Her parents were Joachim and Anne. We learn it from a very interesting document, the Protoevangelium of James. It's a revered document, but there were some suspicions about its revelation, so it didn't make it into the Bible. But it's there, and it's very insightful. It gives us great information about the early time of Mary and Joseph and the birth of Jesus. Protoevangelium means the gospel of beginnings. And it's assigned to James, because James is the brother of the Lord, and therefore he should know something about the family. So here's what the Protoevangelium of James says. It says that Mary was born in Jerusalem. Joachim and Anne are her parents. And she was a very devout and prominent family. And when time came for her, when she was marriageable, there were many, many suitors. All wanted to marry Mary. And by some strange divine intervention, this older man appears. And in a miraculous intervention, he is the one who is chosen. And he was married before, and he had children from his first marriage, which easily explains the brothers and the sisters of the Lord. Now, it also gives us this insight, tells us all about the marriage of Mary. It also means that when Joseph doesn't appear in the public life of Jesus, easy to understand. He was an older man. By that time, he had died. By the way, when you get a moment, this is an image done by Judy Cerberoli of the death of Joseph, the patron of the happy death. Why? Because Jesus and Mary were there when he died. That's what we want when we're going to die. And by the way, that was put up in Father Morris's time, this Irish priest who built this church. And when she showed it to him, he said, "But how do I know he's dead? Maybe he's just sick." And they said, "Oh, no, no, no." So there's a little kind of a haze going up to heaven with the image in it. That's the Irish contribution to art here in the church. So take a look at that sometime. Well, that's Mary. Now, Joseph is different. We know nothing about Joseph. If you look at two genealogies, one in Matthew says the father of Joseph is Jacob. But Luke's genealogy of Jesus says the father of Joseph is Heli. So we don't know nothing about Joseph. And it's not important that we do. What Matthew, we're reading Matthew here, wants us to remember is Joseph is the reincarnation, as it were, of Joseph the dreamer, way back there in the book of Genesis. Chapter 37 to 41 in Genesis, the whole story of Joseph. Remember the dreamer? And he went down to Egypt and he found his way through interpreting the dreams of the Pharaoh. And he's a dreamer. God speaks to him through dreams. And now Joseph is the new Joseph. Remember the musical, Lloyd Webber's musical, Joseph and the Magnificent Multicolored or Technicolor Coat. Remember, that's all about Joseph the dreamer. Well, this new Joseph is a dreamer, and God leads him through dreams. So he has four dreams. One today, take Mary, flee to Egypt, come back from Egypt, and go to Nazareth. Four dreams. And that's what he wants us to remember. So now, what does all this mean to us? I mean, it's the background. This is some insight into where we get our information about Mary and Joseph. Here's the important teaching of it. Everything that happened for them, somehow, God was present. God was present in everything. The whole life of Mary and Joseph, somehow, There was a divine presence in everything. The suffering, the rejection, the presence of mystery, things they didn't understand. They didn't understand Jesus, this radical rabbi preacher. Mary is worried about him. The brothers and sisters of the Lord come looking for him. The passion, the pain, the struggles of life, everything somehow had the presence of God in it. That's the powerful teaching here. I thought about that myself. In the last week, I've been reflecting and writing on this gospel. I thought, my whole life, the place of loneliness, the place of failure, the place of darkness in my life, when I was struggling in my life, the place of blessing, where I was successful or things went right, somehow the hand of God was in it. I didn't always know that God was there, but God was always there. Even in my toughest moments, God was present. That's true for every one of you. I want you to think about your life. That's the meaning of this gospel. Consider your life, the journey of your life. Sometimes sit down and begin to reflect on the journey of your life. And how there were times, difficult times, when you went through great pain or suffering or rejection, when you wondered who you were. We have people who are struggling in the church to find if there's a place for us, people who are gay, lesbian, transgender people, or undocumented people, or people who think they're in sin. But God is with them. God is always with you. The teaching of this is, feel, sense a divine presence in every success you have. It's not your success. It's somehow the movement of God in your life. We could have been born in Haiti. But somehow, in God's providence, we are where we are. Get this sense of God. The movement of God, the presence of God, the blessing, the consolation, the grace of God, carrying me in my darkness, strengthening me when I'm discouraged, blessing me so that I may celebrate the goodness of God in my life, to see the beauty and the wonder of God in your life. If you see this, I kind of decided to see this myself, and I say, therefore, for me, I am now where God means me to be. And when I come to conclude that I am where God means me to be, my soul is peaceful. I'm not going to stay in this place for a long time because God is moving me all the time. It could be through sickness, it could be through death. It could be through some kind of failure, some misunderstanding, but don't lose contact with the grace of God in every moment and in every experience of your life. Now, that's what it means when you read these Gospels for the next few weeks about the incarnation, God coming among us, taking on our flesh, becoming like us, to suffer like us, to be rejected like us, to carry mystery as we carry mystery. How God enters our lives. And when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, it isn't just, you know, the lights and the gifts. It's much, much more powerful. It's the birth of Jesus Christ in my life. To remind me that God is flesh in me, in the manner in which I sense and feel the Creator God moving me, shaping me, leading me in my life. Therein we will find a deep meaning in life and a sense of inner, enduring peace of soul. Amen.